Hello and welcome, everyone, to the fourth episode of Beyond the Headlines. Let me make sure everything is good. Are we 5x5 on all fronts? My friends, we will today be talking about Skinwalker Ranch. And you all know my co-host, Linda Paris. How are you doing today, Linda?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. And beautiful. I want to, before we start, I want to thank you, Thomas, because I had a terrible day today. Truman, my dog, was sick. And I bought a microphone and a setup, and I worked all day yesterday on it. I couldn't get it to work. I corrected a few things this morning and worked all day this morning on it. Couldn't get it to work. I talked to Thomas and I was like, oh, I didn't get my thing to work. And you gave me a couple of really good suggestions and told me not to worry about it. And I feel much better. Thank you, Thomas.
You're welcome. Well, we're a team, you know, you're my partner in crime. And we, so, you know, if you're down and out and you need some help, I can definitely do what I can. You've helped me out too. So, we're here for each other as well as everyone else,
yeah.
You know, coming around and stopping by and watching Beyond the Headlines. This is episode four, Linda. We're four in a row and, they keep getting better and better.
Yeah. I mean, this stuff is because I know when I'm not here doing this with you, and I'm sure when you're not here, you're doing other research and it's all kind of coming together. You know, that's the creepy thing about it. And one thing about this whole Skinwalker Ranch thing is a little bit of everything takes place in this particular place. You know, you talk about Bigfoot. I mean, we did a video about Bigfoot. Well, Bigfoot have been seen here. You talk about orbs. Orbs have been seen here. You talk about spacecraft, alien. They've been seen here. And cryptids. Cryptids out the door. I mean, they have so many cryptid sightings in this place. And it really has a history that goes all the way back to the Native Americans. And
correct.
So this is kind of like a carnival of, you know, paranormal activity taking place in this basin. It seems to be centered around this basin. Just on the edge, I was looking at it right here. It's right on the edge of the border between New Mexico and Arizona. And it's right to, it looks like a little bit to the right of the Petrified Forest National Park. But a lot of Indian reservations out here, Zuni Reservation, Apache. So it's got quite a history. And the Native Americans wouldn't go anywhere near it because they said it's in the path of the skinwalker. And when you think the term skinwalker, it almost feels like cloning or body jumping or something like that. You know what I mean? Again, with the consciousness going into another entity, you know, it's very reminiscent of that, the skinwalker.
Oh, for sure. I definitely want to say that, you know, people are saying is, Truman okay? He's good to go, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It was very scary because I had company. I'm just going to say this briefly. I'm not going to bore people with it, but if people want to know, I had company Saturday for dinner. Truman had a great time. Oh, yeah. He was running and out there playing ball, and people were feeding him stuff off the plate. I said it was okay. But there was chicken with a fancy sauce and stuff like that. So he didn't feel good yesterday. And then this morning he was throwing up and stuff. And I did call the doctor. I did get a little worried about him. But I got some chicken and I made him some chicken and put some little noodles in it. And he's up and running again. He's sleeping now. He's pigged out again. So back to
well, good.
I know. Did have me worried. I will say that.
Well, I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention to make sure, because I know he's part of the family too. And who else is part of the family? Well, that's everyone who is in YouTube right now, D Live, Twitch, and on Foxhole. Thanks for joining us. It means such a great deal to me when you guys stop by. This is the biggest show of the week. So if you have not shared, just go on your social media and share it right now. Be like, hey, it's Monday evening. You're not doing anything. You're home from work. You know, let's chill and think and discuss some paranormal stuff to get our minds off of the political crap.
And
that's what we're here for.
I would like to point out that all this political crap, we don't know what's real and what's not real with that. So if we're going to talk about stuff that we don't know what's real and not real, we might as well make it interesting, right? And we might as well think outside the box or expand our thinking, as our favorite Anon likes
to say. There you go. I totally agree. And also, guys, I want to let you know that this is a call-in show. There's a number. There's a permanent passcode now. Our last guest, Reba, who is on another show, showed me how that you can have a permanent passcode. So if you want to call in, you can see the meeting ID, and the passcode is TRU1776. So hit that up if you have any questions. If you've been to this place or live near Skinwalker Ranch, I want you to call in today. So does Linda. And I want to read this to everybody as well. So if you don't know what this place is, just a quick synopsis of what we're about to get into. So recognized as the most scientifically studied paranormal hotspot on the planet, guys, Skinwalker Ranch is a 512-acre secure site. Honest to God, this is monitored by the Pentagon, that has been monitored for decades with armed security and surveillance 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. This remote location was involved with the Pentagon-funded black budget project studying UFO activity, cattle mutilations, and strange phenomena, and is also known as a living laboratory for studying other intelligences and possible interdimensional phenomena. There it is again, interdimensional. Please note, my friends, that Skinwalker Ranch is closed to the public and does not allow tours. This place doesn't even want to make money. Do you know how much money they can make off of this? And they choose not to, Linda, because I can assure you it's dangerous.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. After reading and hearing about these experiences that these families had, and also even these, I think they're called NIPS or something, this group of scientists that ended up buying the property just so that they could get together and study it. And what they found out was that everything that these families went through, because a lot of people questioned what they were saying, mainly because the activity wasn't happening all the time. And I guess even though they say that none of it was captured, stuff was captured on video and on film by both the families. And I think there were two families that lived there, and then the researching team, or I think it's the same guy you were talking about, the billionaire, who put together this research team of scientists, and they all went out there. And what they had even more weird experiences, and it's everything. It's not just one thing, you know. It's the cryptids are like this one thing that they talked about the wolf, and they said this giant wolf. This family, I forgot their name, but the whole family was out there when they first moved in. This giant sized wolf came up to them, and it says it wagged its tail as it approached, and the father bravely reached out to stroke the huge beast, and it quickly became clear that despite the wolf's intimidating size and appearance, it meant no harm. And it says the rest of the family relaxed and walked over to greet their strange visitor. Maybe it's somebody's pet, they thought. And they were glancing at their corral, which was about 70 feet to the left, and wondering if it had been wise to move some of the herd, because they had there was so many cattle mutilations. But
have you heard anything about like a chupacabra, I believe? Are those out there? Is that connected to Skinwalker Ranch, you think?
I think chupacabra? So.
Chupacabra?
Mm-hmm. But anyway, this wolf suddenly changed, right? And it's huge. It's like bigger than a calf, okay? And it said it just suddenly changed. Its eyes changed and its mouth opened. It growled and it bit the calf's head off. Like the cow was stuck in its mouth by the neck. And it was thrashing around wildly as the wolf tried to drag it out of the pen through the fence. But it just changed on a dime. Its eyes were all happy when it came out and it was wagging its tail and stuff. And then suddenly, as it got close to the pen where the cattle were, and they were kind of going, uh-oh, maybe we shouldn't have done this. It just changed and it just, its mouth opened up and it just bit the neck of this calf and murdered it. And so then the father shot at it, but it didn't do anything. And so, yeah, it just got back up again, like Terminator or something, you know, it didn't do anything. And so, yeah, it was like one of those weird experiences where the she.
Right. I was going to say We Are Rise in the chat asked if who owned it. And he mentioned a name, but that was a minute ago. But Brandon Fugle owns this. I guess he's a new owner of this place. He's like a millionaire.
It was the Sherman family who they were the ones that were terrorized off of the property. And then Bigelow was the one who bought it after the Sherman family moved out. And he formed the Nibs Scientist Group. Mm-hmm. And it says here that they have cryptids, UFOs, and wormholes, cattle mutilations, and poltergeists. And it's called the Disneyland of Paranormal Activity. It's a hot spot.
Yeah, this place is packed with a ton of stuff. That, you know, like I was saying, that's the reason that they don't want anyone out there. Like, they could make a ton of money. They could make as much money as they want to. You know, people selling, you know, just to be like, hey, if you want to come out and investigate, come out and investigate. But I guarantee you it's so, I think somebody said it earlier, it's like a demonic hotspot. You could have someone go missing. You know, this place is pretty big. And, you know, it's a hotbed for paranormal activity, and they would have to sign waivers and all sorts of things. Dark stuff too, Julie Sy says. Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's 480 acres, and it's 100 miles due east of Salt Lake City. So,
wow.
And also, yeah. I wanted to say this about this orb that they saw.
Mm-hmm. And see my screen, Linda, by the way, really quick?
Yes, I can.
Okay. You can see it says Utah business.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, go ahead.
So they saw this orb and it was hovering about 3 feet off the ground. And one of the guys was talking about how it seemed to be growing in size. And then he stopped abruptly and said, it's not a light. It's a tunnel. I can see through to the other side. And they had another one where they were an orange orb where they were looking at it through binoculars and they could see it was an opening and it was nighttime outside, but inside the orb, there were blue skies and clouds and stuff. And they could see it through the, says it's not a light, it's a tunnel.
So it was like a portal?
Yeah. Says he could see a huge black featureless figure crawling on its elbows and knees from the other side of the tunnel. So they're insinuating that every time these orbs come, it's actually something trying to get through into this dimension from another dimension. That's what the orb is. And it causes this orb to happen. But they say they have orbs all over this place, 480 acres. Piece of property.
That's massive.
And it's located in the middle of this basin. And they say all around this basin is paranormal activity, but the Skinwalker Ranch area seems to be the most affected.
Yeah, this place, it says this is coming as from Business Insider, kind of like a background, because I know We All Rise said something about earlier who owns this puppy. Why a millionaire real estate mogul bought Skinwalker Ranch. He says what we are witnessing could be evidence that we live in a multidimensional universe. I believe in the multiverse, honest. I do.
So do I.
That we are not alone, that we may be interacting with other entities, other intelligence, says Brandon Fugel, real estate mogul and investor in the now infamous Skinwalker Ranch. Once owned by a hotel financier, Robert Bigelow, the ranch's 512-acre parcel of land in Utah, Uinta Basin, I guess is how it's pronounced, long reputed to be rife with paranormal activity, rumored to be cursed by the Ute Indians, and plagued by cattle mutilations and UFO sightings, the ranch drew intrigue as part of Bigelow's black box government contract to study. So this guy had a black box, Loki, quit. A black box government contract to study anomalous aerospace threats. Where did he get that from? I guess he got that from the Pentagon or something? I don't know. Like, how is he going to have a black box government contract to do stuff on this land?
He got together a group of, I forgot how many scientists, but it was a lot. It was like 20 scientists, and they all went out there and lived. So, when you get 20 scientists together, maybe one of them has a connection where they can get something like that. But the government probably already knows all about this, or at least certain factions of the government. Not everybody, but not even the president sometimes.
Right. It continues on. Then in 2016, Fugel ushered in a new era, purchasing the ranch for an unknown sum. We don't even know. Tightening up security, hiring a team of researchers to study the anomalies, and launching the History Channel series, The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, to document them. So he's making cash off of this. The show saw viewerships in the millions and was renewed for a second season, resurrecting interest in the property and spawning more than a few viral TikTok videos. It is in the most unusual real estate play that I have ever been involved in, Fugel says. And it's ended up becoming a very intriguing science project as well. All right, so here's the dude right here. So, all right, who knows what this guy knows, right, Linda? So if this guy's probably taken on a lot of negative energy just being on that property and exposing it, because something was there before him. I believe, we'll get into that here a little bit later, but of the Indians felt that this was cursed land as well. So for him to buy this place, not allow anyone on it, kind of exploit it, this guy's probably taken on a hell of a lot of negative energy, and probably unknowingly.
Or he's one of them that came out of it.
Yes, I like that.
Or he crawled out of it. Like, maybe that was him that crawled out of that portal.
Right. He looks like a strange man. He might be into it, or he could be playing the part. But, it's pretty interesting,
Well, they say that about Crowley, that, he opened portals. He opened an important portal, I think, with that lamb, which looked like the gray aliens, That's what a lamb looked like. And so, not knowing, obviously Crowley's one of them, okay? Mm-hmm. He's got the bloodlines, which I have already... look, it's up to each person to decide. But in my opinion, these Illuminati bloodlines have actual reptilian, they are hybrids. And that's what makes the royal family, that they are these hybrids. And of course, Diana said the queen, she was a shapeshifter and she was a lizard and all of this stuff. I think they really do have reptilian blood. They are hybrids that are acting for these bad agents down here. So, Q says, who's really giving the orders? P. And of course you got the Pindar, who is Lord Rothschild, but the reason he's the Pindar is because he has the most reptilian blood in him, DNA. Mm-hmm. And so that's the only one that these things will meet with. You know, they're not going to meet with humans. They won't right. interact with humans. They will only interact with people who have reptilian DNA.
Right.
Which could be all of us, really. I've heard that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we could go down that rabbit hole as well. You know, that we're spliced with something.
I don't really believe that too much. Maybe some people do, but I think that they have to more or less do it to you. I don't think that most of us have non-terrestrial DNA. Mm-hmm. I could be proven wrong, but that's just my feeling about it, that most of us still have our original DNA. But some people have been abducted and things have happened. And who knows how long this has been going on. I've heard hundreds of thousands of years, possibly. So.
Oh, for sure.
But anyway, back to this. They know all about opening these portals and stuff. So maybe this guy that bought it is one of them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who knows? We Are Rice said earlier, where did he say that? I cannot believe he self-funded this. Too much interest in this property. Self-funded it and won't allow anyone on there. So it's strange. You know, hey, mods in YouTube, make sure watch the chat with people talking about you know who. Again, a strange obsession with rural Utah. It's an unusual place to start a ghost story. It kind of is. But the basin consists of 9,300 square miles of tertiary rock in the shape of a bowl. Oh, interesting.
Did you say 900 and?
9,300.
Miles?
Square miles.
Square miles. Wow.
This is the basin. So and it's shaped like right. a bowl. So yeah. It's like deep. It says it was fed by the runoff from the Uinta Mountains. And it was rich in large swaths of oil and gas. It was one of the subjects of an 1860s expedition ordered by Mormon settler Brigham Young. Mm. There he discovered a vast contiguity of waste, valueless, excepting for nomadic purposes, hunting grounds for Indians, and to hold the world together. In the 1860s, this scrolling is ridiculous. In the 1860s, the basin was allotted by Abraham Lincoln as an Indian reservation. Then in the early 1900s, it started to see a spattering of Mormon settlers. Around this time, there were the beginnings of intrigue, namely two separate appearances, 10 years apart, of a stranger appearing into their midst wearing a sparkling blue onesie beneath his cloak. Nothing too unusual here. There seems to be some precedent of sparkling robes in the Book of Mormon. Whoa. So, mid to late century, there starts to be some discussion of UFOs. The Deseret News, a property owned by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, reported mass sightings of them throughout the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Reports of malfunctioning air conditioning units and television sets occurred in tandem, with lore only growing as strange cattle deaths and mutilations became more prevalent in the 70s. The property during this time was owned by a series of ranching families. We went over that. They purchased it for $200,000 shortly after establishing the National Institute for Discovery Science, a research organization dedicated to the study of UFOlogy and other aerial phenomena. And then the government thing happened in 2007. So, of course, the government takes over. Anything to add to that about having the Mormons there? Having this thing in a basin, in a giant basin that's over 9,000 square miles, the malfunctioning of air conditioning units and television sets, you know,
well, this a lot of people, seems like
aliens.
Well, a lot of people said that there was a lot of malfunctioning of things when they were living there, stuff nothing ever worked. And also the people that went down to do investigations, they hired three people come down who were remote viewers, and they located similarly. They had them come down at separate times, but similarly, they went to three separate areas, and they said there was like a really weird magnetic energy happening there. And also, people say they get a feeling of dread when they're there. It's not a good feeling, happy place, you know?
So I can relate to that a little bit and kind of add on to this. We have our first phone call too, by the way. You guys can call in. Call in. So I remember when we were speaking about it on an earlier show about I lived in a haunted house, like a house that was full-blown haunted for about 3 months. And that's the first thing that you can tell when something is demonic, is that feeling of being watched, and that the feeling of being suffocated by negativity, like that oppression feeling, definitely demonic.
You know, they also said something about the smell of musk, musky smell.
Mm-hmm.
That every time these orbs or these cryptids or things would appear, there'd be this smell, certain smell, musky was how they described it.
Well, isn't, I know like the smell of like a putrid smell, like a sewage smell, or maybe even a musky smell or whatever, something that's unpleasant has direct ties to stuff that are entities that are not of this realm and are of like something very dark and sinister.
Yeah, all these things have an odor about them. Even the Bigfoot, like people say a lot of times.
Even Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, exactly. Even Smelly Pants Clinton. Mm-hmm. She smells like cabbage. That's what everybody said about her. Anyway, and the skunk ape, which is the counterpart to Bigfoot down in Florida. They talk about the smell of it. But also, when Phil Schneider, who was the geologist who was doing work for the government, and they sent him down, I think it was under Area 51, but I'm not sure. People can correct me on that. But anyway, they sent him down there. They knew there were, tall gray aliens or something down there, and that they were not pleasant. And they sent him down there anyway, never said a word to him about it. They blasted through this wall, and the first thing that hit him was a wall of the most putrid odor they've ever smelled, like dead bodies and feces and everything all in one place. And the next thing they know, they're being shot at with these ray guns and stuff, and he lost half his hand in that. It's like a famous battle that the government has tried to cover up because they didn't tell them anything about this stuff. They just went down there innocently thinking that they were, using this, I guess it can melt through rock or something. Anyway, they were going down there blasting through rock or melting through rock. They thought they were building a tunnel. That was it. And then suddenly this open, it was more like a pocket, you know, that they blasted into, and all these things were in there, and it stunk like dead bodies and stuff. So yeah, you're right. There is a bad odor associated with a lot of these beings and creatures and cryptids and events. And there's also when everything stops and grows silent. And they said that on Skinwalker Ranch. Oh, look, Vanessa.
Mm-hmm. We're going to wait for her to, you can finish your thought, wait for Vanessa.
No, I was just going to say that's kind of what they said on Skinwalker Ranch, that certain things had an odor about them. And
right.
And also that when certain things were there, there was no sounds, no nature sounds or anything. Everything went quiet. So something about it. That's something that people say repeatedly, that everything goes quiet.
Interesting. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I was going to let everybody know that if I saw somebody, can you hear me?
Hello,
Vanessa?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, what's going on?
Hi. Hi, Thomas. Hi, Linda. How are you guys doing?
Good.
I love you guys. I just want you guys to know I really, really love you guys. I'm stuck over here in Liberal, California.
Ooh.
Oof.
Ouch.
Do you know anything? Go ahead.
For the deaf, and boy, do they indoctrinate those poor kids.
Oh, God.
And they try to indoctrinate us, too, the staff, and it drives me nuts.
Yeah, and
let me get to the point, because I know you guys are on time limit. The Chupacabra, I think I experienced seeing the Chupacabra once, and it's true. They freaking stink bad.
Yeah, that's another one that they say stinks, and I've read about this thing.
Horrible. So let me tell you, my aunt rented this house, and in the fireplace, they had a fireplace, and there was like a trap door in the fireplace. So they opened the trap door, and when they opened it, they said a real bad smell and like dust, like something like came out. And they found like old, you know, like old baby shoes, old just stuff that was in the trap door. So ever since they opened that trap door, they started experiencing things in the house. And everybody that lived in the house everybody was acting crazy, fighting. There was a lot of fighting going on. Mm-hmm. And they had dogs in the backyard. And one morning when they went outside, their dogs were ripped open. All the insides were gone.
Oh, my God.
Everything was gone. So everybody in the house was like, what the hell's going on? So, I mean, I thought everybody was on drugs. Everybody was saying, Vanessa, and my cousin kept telling me, you got to come. There's weird stuff going on in the house. So finally, I went to go spend the night. And in the middle of the night, we smelled the smell. I went to the backyard, and I opened like the sliding door, and I don't know what I saw, but it was awful. It looked like 3 feet tall. It was really short. It looked like that ugly leprechaun from the movie Leprechaun.
Oh, yeah. Like an entity.
It looked like that. And it just smelled so bad. And I looked straight at it. It looked straight at me, and it like laughed, and I just got scared, and I ran, and I was like, Mama, I saw it. I am not. And then I left. I didn't want to go back to that house.
When was this?
This was in the late 90s. This was when the whole Chupacabra sightings were happening. A lot of people were saying that they were seeing the Chupacabras. They even made a song, Chupacabra, Chup, Chup, Chupacabra. Remember that song?
No, but I'm definitely going to hear it, listen to it after this.
I just looked it up after you were describing how ugly it was. And they are ugly, these things.
Gross.
It was awful, and you could smell it. I smelled it through the window. It just smelled so bad. But let me tell you, so bad things started to happen in that house so bad that to this day, my cousin says he doesn't know what happened, what got into him. But my cousins were all there hanging out. My cousin had a friend there, and my other cousin came over and with his friend, and they ended up shooting the friend, and they killed the guy in the house. So my cousin's friend got killed in the house. Then my other cousin chased his friend. And it was a shootout. It was really bad. And after after everybody, you know, the cops came, everybody left. A few days later, when my mom and my aunt went back to the house to get some things for the kids, the owner was there. And the owner was so pissed off. And he was like, what are you guys doing living here? You guys were... Apparently, the owner gave the job to the son to tear down the house. Oh. The son was supposed to tear down the house. He was not supposed to rent the house out. So my aunt told him, you know, you have some respect. Don't you know what happened? Somebody got killed in here. And the owner told her, yeah, I know. And you're lucky that's all what happened.
Whoa. So the guy, do you think the person who was supposed to tear it down was like maybe possessed to keep, like, because the entities thrived inside it like a nest? And like, if you tear it down, then their nest is gone, and then all the activity, you know, is alleviated, and it goes out into, you know, wherever. Do you think that they were like trying to protect like their place?
I don't know what. I just know that the owner did not want to rent that house. He wanted it torn down. The son was supposed to get it torn down, and the son rented it out without the owner knowing. And then after the fact, after everybody moved out, they did burn it. They knocked the whole house down. The house is gone.
So what did the people say about the dogs being ripped open like that? Like, did anybody investigate that side?
Nobody invested. Like, they didn't call nobody to come and investigate, but
everybody. Like animal control or something?
No. They called animal control, and they came and got the bodies, but they even said they were like, they've never seen anything like that before. That's all they said. But,
oh my God. But that's, I mean, crazy.
They were like, maybe it's coyotes, but my mom and my aunt were like, nah, it was like precise, cut open, like kind of like surgical. It was like, it looked like the stomachs were surgically cut open, and the rib cage like were like popped open. Everything in the inside was gone.
Vanessa, do you know where this whole legend of the chupacabra comes from? Like, where is it supposed to have come from, or anything like that?
I heard Mexico, but I'm Mexican, so us Mexicans, like, we got the La Llorona, we got all kinds of, everything comes from Mexico when it comes to us Mexicans. So, honestly, I think it's from the pit of hell, because all these evil entities are from the pit of hell.
Yeah.
And like they said, these portals are open. And not only that, you know, meth is rampant here in Southern California. So mm-hmm. I believe when you're doing dope, you're selling dope, cooking dope, you're opening yourself to these spiritual realms. And correct. And you're letting these spirits come in. You're welcoming them in your home. So I think, you know, a lot has to, I mean, dope has a lot to do with, you know, with all this spiritual realm. That stuff is real. That stuff is really there. But I yes. think, you know, I think when people do, that's why they're, you know, they get all paranoid. They think somebody's trying to chase them and trying to kill them all the time. But I think what they're seeing is their spirit. And they're real, but because they open themselves up to that when you're doing dope.
Yeah, it makes you vulnerable, and then something can either, you know, show itself to you when you're under the influence of something like that. And mm-hmm. yeah, and obviously it can make itself inside of you, and you become the host.
Yeah, exactly. My cousin, because him and his friend, they both did. Kill that guy in the house, and he did 20 years in prison. When he got out, because he did eventually get out, I asked him, you know, what happened, because this is what I'm hearing, you know, I want to hear your side. He told me, Vanessa, I don't know, I can't remember. They said that me and Carlos killed them, but I don't remember. It was like he just said something, just like he didn't have control over himself, like something
like a blackout.
Not like a blackout. He remembers it happening. He was seeing it happen. This is what he said, but he couldn't stop his body. He couldn't stop himself. It was making him.
Well, you know, this reminds me, you telling this about how everybody that went to the house, they didn't get along. They fought. You know, there was all this negative energy in the house, and then this happened. But it reminds me of all these places where they have all these sacrifices to bring up these demonic entities, and they saturate the area with negativity, like the Notre Dame and the sacrificing of the children in this one spot, like Epstein Island. They go and worship in these spots because they're trying to reach the entities that are below them, and they literally saturate the earth with negative energies, negative, and certain places with blood, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And get in.
that adds to the other things that have happened in that spot. And then it becomes more easier for these entities to come up.
Yep. And again, like I said, if you're, you know, if you're, the dope has a lot of part of it too, but get this, guess what was right next door to the house?
Cemetery.
Catholic church.
Oh my.
Wow.
And we all know about the Catholic church.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Well, you know, Vanessa, you hit a home run. Your story was incredible, and I thank you for sharing it. Goes right along with this. I love our listeners. Thank you, Vanessa.
I love
you
too,
Vanessa.
Thanks for the good work. I mean, keep up the good work. I always look forward to your showies, and you too, Linda.
Thanks.
I mean, you're always cracking me up, Smelly Pants and Crypt Keeper, Nervous Nancy. I hate that stupid Nancy, man. Oh. I can't stand it.
I know.
But I hate that freaking, like, I'm so sick of it. And this stupid governor new scam, this asshole is taking 10% of my pay every month and giving it to freaking China. And I'm tired of it.
Well, you know, I saw on, what's her name, the attorney, that's the female attorney, Cindy Powell, released the actual election results, and I saw California was red.
Yeah, we voted red. Me, my neighbors, we all voted for Trump. But the only thing is, I hate to say it, you know, like I said, I'm Mexican. I'm a hood girl. I come from the hood, but I did good for myself. I work for the state. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I'm not no drug addict or anything. I come from a really bad family. I'm the only one that's never been to prison and not on drugs.
Good for you.
So all I can say is that it's sad because my people, I hate to say it, but my people are the most gullible, dumbest people. I hate to say it because I keep trying to tell and I keep trying to wake people up around me. Like, dude, I keep telling them, Trump's not a racist. You guys don't know what's going on. You're voting for the real racist.
Biden, yeah, it's all true.
Yeah, you
know, it's true, Vanessa. It is.
I have a best friend at work, and he's a Christian. And me and him are no longer friends. He called me a racist. He doesn't want nothing to do with me. And he's supposed to be a man of the Lord, a man of the cloth. And I keep trying to tell him, you need to, you're not paying attention. I understand you're only going to go by what the word says, but there's more to this world that has to do with the Lord.
Yeah.
I agree, Vanessa.
So all I'm saying is that, you know, people are not waking up around me. I'm hoping that everywhere else people are waking up, but around me, I've lost friends, I've lost family members, and I'm crazy. Vanessa's gone insane, but
I'm crazy too.
I've been insane in my life my mom knew about all this, and she always used to tell me, "Mama, Obama's a Muslim. He's a mother." She would, JFK Jr. was her man. And, you know, I mean, my mom used to always peep me on game on certain things that was going on in the world. And I would not pay attention. I used to be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I used to think my mom was crazy. But my mom, God bless her soul, she passed away in 2016. I wish so much she was alive, because I know she would be a Trump supporter. And I know she would be loving what's going on right now. Now I'm aware. Now I see it.
Keep doing your part. Keep doing your part, Vanessa. But I got to let you go. Okay. I want to keep going on with the show. You killed it. And I appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
You too, Vanessa. Bye,
Vanessa.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Real quick, guys. I just want everyone to know that we have to be really careful because we're on YouTube. And certain things that we say are key words to them, and we want to keep this alive. So just letting you guys know, when you call in, you know, Vanessa did fine, but there are certain things that we cannot say. Just think about them.
Yeah, and I said something earlier, which I shouldn't have said. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It was super quick. It was quick. Yeah. So hopefully nothing happens. But I want to say thanks to We Are Rise, killing it, my friend, on Cash App. And I know that we have a lot of people watching right now on all platforms. So if you have something interesting to say, you can send it to the Cash App, and I'll read if it's something you want heard. If you want your voice heard on here, Cash App me and for whatever you want, dollar, whatever. And I'll read your comment on here to get so we don't miss it. We Are Rise, thank you so much for the $10 donation. I greatly appreciate it. He says, George Knapp, we all know Coast to Coast, said that that ranch was another dimension. Like the whole place, not just like a house on there or a position of a portal, but the entire property is a giant portal. So thank you, We Are Rise. I appreciate that.
See, that's like an interesting that's an interesting concept, actually, that the whole thing is another dimension, that you're actually in another dimension when you're living in that spot. That's crazy. Because you got to wonder if what that did to those people that live there.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why they have they don't want people going on there. Because who knows what could happen? Nobody wants a lawsuit. Nobody wants to have anything like that happen. So, We Are Rise, exactly, man. Like, what if this is – the entire property is, in fact, a portal in itself?
Yeah. And that's kind of, I think, what they were trying to do with CERN.
Right.
And so it's kind of weird to think that there's just this natural place that is a giant portal. And that these people seeing these orbs and looking at them and seeing like a doorway and a blue sky and everything on the other side, it's like a hole, and seeing people come out of it or creatures or entities. It's pretty bizarre because I never thought of it that way. I always thought of an orb of light, that it was something like a spaceship or a being or something.
Oh, yeah.
Not a hole.
Right. Exactly. I mean, that story with Vanessa was amazing. And if you guys have any other stories, call in and let us know, or you can text it in. That'd be fine, too. Whatever you want to do. But I want to, we had people asking, who's the owner? We've had questions over who's the owner. And I checked this out from this part of the article. Not much was known about the contract, about the person just buying. This place was just bought, by the way, in the end of 2017. So pretty recent. Even then, only financials were disclosed. So only the financial parts of this were disclosed. When the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program finally shuttered in 2012, Bigelow decided to turn his attention from studying UFOs to joining them, shifting his focus to Bigelow Airspace and selling the property to Fugel in 2016. Brian Arnold, now chief of the security of Skinwalker Ranch, was initially against Fugel's purchasing of the property. And quote, the way that he approached me about it was, and quote, I'm looking to buy this 512-acre property in the basin. I said, you don't even own a pair of jeans, so why are you buying a 512-acre plot of dirt in the middle of nowhere? Fugel proceeded to make his case, calling it one of the most studied paranormal hotspots on the planet. I was interested in taking the research forward and installing my own team of scientists, like you said earlier, Linda, and researchers in order to truly get to the bottom of what was happening on the Utah property, Fugel says. I think Mr. Bigelow saw me as a worthy successor and steward of the property, and that we're only a few hours away from the property and have the resources to continue his work. So here we go. This is when things get weird, when you're talking about the saturation of the grounds and aversion to digging. Crap goes down when people start disturbing the earth, says Arnold. Also known as, in quote, I guess his nickname is Dragon, in the first episode of The Secret of the Skinwalker Ranch. So bad things happen to those who dig. Twice ranch superintendent Thomas Winterton developed a lump on his head, his scalp separating from his skull after digging on the ranch. Astrophysicist Travis Taylor opens a portal and develops burns that the doctors say are similar to those on radiation patients.
Wow.
When the team visits a cave on the property, they record surging VOC levels. Somebody tell me what VOC means. I don't know what that means. at 36 or 3,600 parts per billion, and Taylor comes down with a bout of vertigo. The batteries on their phones go dead with a matter of minutes, and another phone starts to go haywire. Lured by the idea that some paranormal causation must exist just beneath the surface. Yeah. The team remains eager to dig, but Bryant won't let them. It's too dangerous, he says. What are your thoughts on that, Linda? That's crazy. You were talking about that earlier, speaking about how the earth can be enriched in negativity, and then this stuff starts happening to them once they start digging.
Well, I think there's underground bases all in that area. And what's interesting is I was thinking about it when you met, because we're talking about Utah and Salt Lake City and all that. And of course, I guess his name's Joseph Smith or John Smith, the founder of the Mormon religion. I think it's Joseph Smith. Mm-hmm. Anyway, his whole thing was about, you know, UFOs and flying saucers. I mean, he was kind of way out there, you know, and I'm wondering if it had anything to do with him being in this area, you know, with all of these things happening, because mm-hmm. it's right there next to Salt Lake City. And I'm not sure. I'll have to look into that. That's something to look into. And also, we should do something on cryptids. Or no, Chupacabra, the thing she was talking about.
Can you let everyone know what cryptids are?
Well, cryptids are just these creatures, from what I understand. It could be anything from hybrids to, just animals we don't know anything about mm-hmm. that are not listed in the, but I get the feeling that cryptids are considered hybrids, but manufactured or created possibly mm-hmm. on purpose, possibly, or they might come from another dimension.
Yeah. Cryptids. Yeah. That's why you have like cryptology. That's sort of things where people look for like Bigfoot, or people look for the Loch Ness Monster. You know, these
things that aren't listed on the whole, you know.
Right. Species list.
Thank you.
There we go. Yeah. The species list.
Exactly.
Yeah. So VOC, somebody said earlier, let me go back up so I can find that. Where was it? Oh my gosh. Yeah. This chat is moving pretty fast, my friends. Let me go back, because people wanted to know. Oh, gracious. Where was that at? Come on, folks. VOC. We got another caller. Phil, what's up, man? You got to do your audio, brother, and then we'll get you on. Do your audio, and then you can go ahead and talk. So I don't know. These things, whatever is under the ground is saturated here. I don't know if it's radiation, if it has anything to do with aliens or UFOs. I think that's the direction that they're trying to take this. Is that it's more so aliens.
Well, an interdimensional.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, hey.
Hey, Phil, go ahead, man.
Is that cool?
Yeah, you sound great. Come on in. What's up, buddy?
Awesome. Interdimensional.
Oh, you need to mute your stream in the background, please.
Yeah, sorry. 1 second. Sorry.
Okay. All right. So, anyways. So is that what you think, Linda, that they're kind of leaning towards UFOs
and radiation
from that? He's there. I guess I got to ask him to mute again. Unmute.
Unmute.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
What's up, man? Come at us. Let's go. Phil, go ahead, man. Phil.
Hey, Skinwalkers.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. All right, cool. They're there, but like you have to, it's not the place. It's they're everywhere.
What do you mean by that?
Anywhere that a lot of unhappiness, like kind of anywhere that a place that has a lot of people that are unhappy at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that happens.
What See, are they? Are they ETs?
No, it's just like they're like extra dimensional beings that like suck in I'm still getting a fucking back feed. I apologize. I did not mean to say the F word.
It's okay. I don't hear it on my end.
Okay, cool. I'll just take on my headphones. Yeah, they're these extra dimensional beings that like just suck in energy and like don't give anything back. And they exist all across the world, and they will continue to exist. They have existed. It's kind of that thing, like that thing, as if you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So one thing I know is when somebody gets pissed off or angry or sad or expresses these emotions, our DNA, the vibrations of our DNA spike. So these entities can sense that and feed off of it. So it sounds like maybe what you're saying is that when a whole bunch of negative things happen in that atmosphere, that they can sense this negativity and feed off of it. Is that
right, Phil?
Yes, that's right. I'm still trying to figure out my own.
Okay. It's okay. I'm going to have to go ahead and mute him. We're going to have to move forward. When you figure that out, Phil, call back. I'll let you back in as soon as possible. You'll figure it out, brother. I think he's absolutely right. So somebody said they're feeding off our loosh.
Yeah. But they can sense it because the vibrations of our DNA spike and they latch onto that. They can see, oh, there's something going on over here, you know, and they all go over mm-hmm. there. Because as we get along and their matrix falls apart and the fluoride gets cleaned out of the water and the truth begins to come out and they are exposed and people stop fighting with each other and all of this stuff starts to happen. Those spikes are going to go down and down and down. They're not going to be able to find anything. And without it, they can't even exist here.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Their vibrations are too low. They have to keep the vibrations low on this realm so that they can feast and feed off of us. So that's the whole purpose of us and the elite keeping us low is so that they can have these things that they go hand in hand with that they probably worship or whatever it is. They're there to keep them here. So they have to keep us miserable to keep those entities happy to feed off our loosh and to stick around. And they probably get rewarded for it. But with that being said, my friends, it is the top of the hour, 3 minutes past the top of the hour. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back. We have a lot more to talk about and phone calls. So stick around, my friends. We'll be right back. Give it about 1 minute. All right, guys. Thank you for taking that break with us. I do want to say this. I have a video for everybody. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen with Linda so that she can see. I got you muted really quick, Linda, if you want to unmute yourself. This is actually coming. This is an exclusive coming from, I guess, a newscast speaking directly. This is not long ago, guys. This is from October of 2020, so not that long ago. It's about – we can pause and move it, you know, move along with it if we want to for everybody. And, again, my friends, if you want to chime in with any message or anything like that, you can hit it up on the Cash App for however much you want to. And we'll get to your comment, concern, or question. So let me go ahead and share this screen with Alinda so that she can take a listen. And let me share the sound as well. So let's all take a listen to this, all right?
From UFO sightings to cattle mutilations, a ranch in the Uinta Basin has been home to numerous bizarre and terrifying events, and it's now the subject of its own TV series on the History Channel.
Yeah, well, tonight, News Specials Andrew Adams has his own exclusive look inside the mysterious Skinwalker Ranch after a visit that proved to be a little out of this world.
It moves in quietly, and it looms over every empty space.
You get that sense that you shouldn't be here.
The dread that fills Skinwalker Ranch can be practically
indescribable.
And it's usually only the beginning of something worse.
Poltergeist type stuff, UFO sightings, cattle mutilations. I had a mysterious bump that started to form on my head pretty rapidly. And over the course of a few days, my scalp completely separated from my skull.
For decades, locals thought the land was cursed.
A shapeshifter, it's a demonic being that can take on the shape of many different animals or the form of a human. And so really that's the legend of the Skinwalker.
Hey, we're coming in. Thanks for the heads up.
You got it. See ya.
Today, a new owner oversees the property. And he's hoping to find answers that are grounded in science.
Hey, Matt.
Learning that Skinwalker Ranch was involved with a black budget Pentagon-funded study into not only the UFO phenomena, but other high strangeness was very interesting to me. Supposedly the site of more paranormal activity and high strangeness than anything else being reported in the country at the time. In over 4 years, we have recorded and documented phenomena that really defies all natural explanation. It could truly be, you know, the greatest science project of our time.
Brandon Fugel now employs a team of scientists.
Wow.
And they found when it comes to radio frequencies, the ranch has a peculiar pulse.
So we might think of this as a range across the radio dial. And here, it's as if several stations all at once became very loud.
Spikes in radiation have been equally transient. And as cameras and sensors monitor the grounds 24/7, a wide range of theories has surfaced, including unseen energy sources.
Interdimensional phenomena, precognitive, non-human intelligence.
It started to feel like an intelligence was toying with us when our electronics began to malfunction.
What does it say?
Calibration failed, that it was too strong to actually calibrate.
At the time, our drone encountered an unexpected interference.
I don't know what that is or if it has any relationship to what's happened with your drone.
The RF sensors started going crazy.
Well, this is a recording I just made 30 seconds ago.
When a contrail shadow began to appear in the sky.
Look at below it. There's like a dark...
Well, it's not as dark now.
No, it's not as now.
Everyone scrambled inside to see what the cameras caught.
Something moves through there.
It was barely a blip.
Right here. Yeah. I wonder what that guy is.
And yet it couldn't have been a bigger deal.
There.
Oh, my gosh.
There it is. See it?
Yeah.
The slender, cigar-shaped object didn't appear to fly like a bird or plane.
That's exactly when we were recording all the other anomalies, if I'm not mistaken.
Any of those anomalies could have had perfectly natural explanations, but the timing of all of them together seemed uncanny.
This is so weird.
You've never heard it beep like this?
This is the second drone that can't connect in this very area.
The next time our drone failed to launch, near the epicenter of the ranch's activity.
I mean, I don't know. I don't have an answer.
Will you please allow us to fly the drone?
It literally took a prayer for the drone to start working.
Wow. I said it out loud and there it is in the air.
It just, it's baffling.
Baffling may just be the baseline at Skinwalker Ranch, where flames spark out of nowhere while cameras roll on empty rooms.
So many people swear that there is another presence here, that there's an active presence watching.
Until all questions are answered.
Are we alone in the universe?
The mystery of the ranch is very much alive.
You really have to see it and experience it to believe it.
So there you go, Linda. pretty that was actually you know, most local news channel you know, I guess little bits that they do are pretty terrible, and that one was really, really good. That was well put together.
Well, I liked how they put the cameras there and caught those flames coming up.
Yes. That was insane. Right.
And all the malfunctioning of all of their equipment. Nothing would work. Of course, that happens in my house all the time. Not that unusual, actually.
Right. So, this guy, you know, obviously multimillionaire. This guy's got armed guards there walking around with AR-15s. This seems like he's got his own pretty much like a base, like a home base that they go to that's completely surrounded by cameras. They have everything focusing on radio frequencies. And they've got this place bugged out. Like they're waiting for something to show itself. And then obviously we have a cigar, you know, tube-like craft going through the sky. So it's pretty remarkable that they caught all that, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and what I thought was really interesting too was he said that all I had to do was say, well, can we please, will you please let us fly our drone or something like that? And mm-hmm. then the drone worked. The same sort of thing happened, but in reverse, to this family. I think it was the Sherman family, and they had always dreamed of having a cattle ranch. And when they got this property, they really went into it excitedly, right? But then all this weird stuff happened, like the wolf came up and bit the head off a calf, you know, and also his dog, he sicked his dog on something that was out there. And the dog went around the corner and started yelping and crying. And when he went out in the morning, the dog was liquefied, had been liquefied. So there was a lot of stuff like that, negative stuff. So him and his wife were starting to get worried. And they had just bought four new cattle or steer or whatever. And they were big. And they were leaving for some reason. And she said, well, I hope nothing happens to those four new steer, because if it does, we're ruined. They came back. They couldn't find their steer anywhere. And the steer had been moved somehow physically into this small, tiny little structure that was further on the property. But they couldn't find any tracks or any trails or anything. It was like they had been lifted up and then stuffed inside of this small building. And they couldn't find them anywhere. And they found them all stuffed in this small building. And I think they were sick or something. They didn't survive.
Thank God.
The steer didn't survive it for some reason. Anyway, I was looking for it right there, but whatever was there, the energy or entity or whatever was there, responded to her saying, I hope, you know, nothing happens to our steer. We'll have to leave or something like that. And of course, they come back and this weird thing is purposely done to their steer. And they had to, you know, they had to put them down or something after that. It was shortly after that that they left.
Are there like tracks or anything that can be traceable to this happening? Or was it just like these calves and these animals just miraculously are moved and then placed inside of a building and then mutilated? You know, like what is...
There was no tracks.
There's no way. Right.
Yeah.
So there's no explanation to that.
Yeah, there is.
How is it moving?
They couldn't explain it. They don't even know how exactly they fit them in through the door and stuff and how they got them in there and everything. It didn't make any sense. They could not figure it out. But they did find tracks on the property at times, like claw tracks and stuff. When other things had happened, I mean, a ton of other stuff happened as well. If you go online, and just look on YouTube, you'll find a whole litany of all the things that we're talking about now. But then other things happened. It was like a constant thing for this family. Whatever was there did not want this family there. They wanted them to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. But the interesting thing is other people bought it and then nothing happened. So this guy doesn't sound like he's going through the same thing that this family went through.
Yeah, that's, I'm looking at this. Somebody says, and they brought up a great point too, by the way, because of what they show, you know, like they can put whatever they want to on TV. And somebody asked, who owns the History Channel? And we all know that six corporations own all the media that is coming in. So according to Wikipedia, it's a part of the A&E network of channels who are owned by ABC, NBC, yeah. Universal combined. The A&E network is a cable and satellite television based out of New York, New York, also tied to Disney. So, right. Excuse me, you know, there
That's
you go.
That's an excellent point. But then what they wanted to do was get a hold of it so they could control the information that came out of it, control the opposition. They wanted to be the ones to tell people what to think about this. And so that they got their wish. They must have offered the guy so much money that he couldn't say no.
Right.
Or maybe they sent him to Epstein Island or someplace and then they mm-hmm. blackmailed, or the Playboy Mansion or something. And then they blackmailed him, or had Heidi Fleiss give him a call or something, and they blackmailed him into letting them take control, the History Channel take control of the whole thing. Yeah. I never watch anything from the History Channel. Not that they don't have some truth in there, but I don't really feel like
it's sprinkled in.
Yeah.
It's sprinkled in. Nikki Silver says, wasn't it the History Channel that did the documentary claiming that Satan was a good guy and that he was just misunderstood? I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah, that Nikki. Doesn't surprise me.
You know, I definitely want to go into this part of it, into changing lanes a little bit. So the Skinwalker Ranch and Native American legends. Let's see here. So the purpose of this article is not meant to outline the activities of the ranch. The NIDS investigation, what you were talking about earlier, and I guess George Knapp went there, We All Rise. Is that what you're telling me? So George Knapp visited the ranch and was described in great detail in The Hunt for the Skinwalker. So if you guys want to learn more, and if you want to read a book onto this or like listen to an audio version of it, Hunt for the Skinwalker, friends. You can check it out there. The purpose of this article is to compare many of the phenomena observed by the researchers at the ranch with the long and fascinating Native American history in the area. The parallels that are uncovered when the two are placed side by side are very interesting, as well as somewhat disconcerting. To place the phenomenon into a historical context, it's important to explore the history of the northeastern Utah, and particularly the history of the land before the Europeans ever arrived and during their arrival. And we got into that a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, many people recognize this as a UFO hotspot, but another significant correlation is the fact that many of these hotspots are located bordering or at least neighboring Native American reservations.
Yeah.
This is what I'm trying to get into, is the cursing of this, right?
Yeah. And they said they wouldn't go there because it was in the path of the Skinwalker. So to me, that means another dimension, a portal, you know, just like what those people saw when they looked into those orbs. They saw an opening. And I was looking here about this thing. It was four black Angus bulls. And they left. And when they came back, mysteriously, the bulls were out of their pens, and the sun happened to jump up onto a feeding trough and look in through one of the skylights, and to his utter amazement saw all four bulls standing silently crammed into the tiny space of this building, and they seemed to be in some sort of trance. So they were four bulls just standing there. And in the end, one of the back doors was kicked off, and all four bulls ran out to the sunlight. But how did they get in there, you know? And they're right. All standing there silently. They were in their pens as they were driving out, and she made that comment. So I felt like, you know, when I heard the other guy say, well, he made the comment, I thought that sounds like exactly what happened when those bulls went in. Like, they can hear what people are saying, and then they right. act on that, like they prank on that or whatever.
What, you know, we were talking about this earlier, like what this stuff feeds off of and its negativity, and I found it right here. This is what this is. It's a hotbed, obviously, what we were talking about earlier. You brought that up, Linda. It says, anyone familiar with the infiltration of this area of the country by white settlers will recall the horrors, the slaughter, and the unimaginable actions by both the United States military and the natives of that area. The tribal history of Utah in particular, including the Ute tribe, whose ancestors occupied that area for over 1,000 years, including a great deal of tragedy and horror. It's important to make note of the fact that the Utes allied with the United States Army in attacks against the Navajo people. The mid-1800s saw some of the worst atrocities, negativity, murder, slaughter, depression, anxiety, all just on dying on those grounds,
yeah.
Just saturating it, as you said. The worst atrocities by the United States Army against the Navajo people of this region in 1863. Part of the Canyon Chelly campaign, including Kit Carson and General James Carleton attempting to starve the Navajo by placing a bounty on Navajo livestock. So starving them to death, that you can just tack on suffering. This yeah. is important footnote, Linda, for our following observations, that this was an important target of the whites to obtain submission from the Navajo, the reduction of the Navajo livestock. Livestocks are often a target of the strange UFO phenomenon, such as the cattle mutilations. After numerous military campaigns, the conflicts with their Ute neighbors, and the pressure from the New Mexican allies, this resulted in the starvation, I knew it, of the Navajo, followed by the use of bribery, resulting in a massive Navajo surrender. This is nothing but negativity, pure and just basic, right?
Yeah, well, it goes along with the plague and all of these mm-hmm. other things that these people have caused, actually. You know, wars, every war, the French Revolution, you know, they're doing the same things over and over and over again throughout the centuries. And you were just talking about that. I know Albert Pike, there was a battle of Pea Ridge. This was during the Civil War. And Albert Pike, being the head Freemason or whatever he was, he's like a god to them. He got the Native Americans to fight for the South, right? Mm-hmm. And what he did was he basically brainwashed them and lied to them and told them, basically did exactly what the Democrats did to our president during this mm-hmm. election. They said, oh, he's a Nazi. You know, if he gets in charge, you're all going to not be able to be gay, and you're not going to, you know, he's going to lock you all up, and it's going to be terrible, and he's going to put you in camps and all this. That's what Albert Pike did. He told the Indians that if the North winds, they're going to come down here and kill them all and do all this stuff. He just basically lied to them and got them to fight for their lives. And what he did was he fed them mixtures of gunpowder and alcohol. And they went crazy. And they the Pea Ridge was a real episode where they were just driven mad with it. They'd never had anything like that before. Not only that, they were jacked up on fear that they were all going to be slaughtered if the North won. And they just started scalping kids and just doing horrible things. You know, it was just horrible. Mm-hmm. And so it was a real disgrace what he did. But of course, being the head Freemason and being part of the Illuminati and Albert Pike wrote Morals and Dogma, where he admits that the Freemasons, all the ones at the top, worship Satan, that he is the morning light, you know, that it's Satan that is who they worship. So that just, you know, reminds me of this Illuminati element that came over here from the crown, and then they infiltrated themselves in and did stuff like that. Because there were good people here that were trying to escape. And I think the railroads got built and all these Illuminati people came over here, like the Pesors, and built the railroads, Flagler, the Rockefellers, all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, these people are absolutely just, you know, if they're even human at this point, I always reiterate that. We're about to get into something crazy that I saw at the bottom of this article. So obviously we're talking about how the U.S. military, they took out the Navajo. Then they made them go, 8,000 of them, men, women, and children, were forced to march 300 miles to New Mexico. Approximately 200 Navajo died during the 2-month-long march. So here we go. This is important. The second item to note here, that those who didn't surrender escaped to the mountains, in particular the Navajo Mountain and the Bear's Ears. I guess that's like a mountain range there. There, they waited for the release of their relatives. It isn't hard to imagine the anger, hatred that grew in the hearts of those who escaped the fate of the long walk towards the whites and possibly towards the Ute as well. The tradition of the Navajo to maintain an oral history means that only the Navajo truly understand the magnitude of the effect that this had on the hearts and the minds of the Navajo people. The generational memory of the Navajo run deep. We can be certain that any resentment from this has been handed down from generation to generation. And now we go into this. The skinwalker has Navajo witchcraft, people. What weapons are described in Navajo history as a method to attack enemies? They are, of course, the physical weapons, but Navajo history carries a great spiritual component. One of the most relevant here, of course, is the skinwalker. Skinwalkers are another type of witch closely associated with underground gatherings. They are war animals and own an animal skin that is used to transform into these animals. What? That any real animal can see through the skinwalker's disguise. But even a human can recognize the unnatural creature. For some unexplainable reason, even a well-seasoned skinwalker cannot maintain the perfect animal gait or leave the proportionally corrected animal-sized tracks. This, Linda, this makes me think of those who could possibly be reptilian, and it's hard for them to hold that image of a human. And sometimes they flicker in and out from what we look like to what they look like, because it's hard for them to hold that, I guess, that frequency to cloak themselves.
Yeah, it's about the vibrational, the frequency and the vibrational rate, you know, and that if they're coming from a lower dimension, I guess they have to put a lot of energy into it. And that's why they need those spots where there's all this violence. Actually, they need us to be in a constant state of anger, rage, frustration, you know, all of these negative emotions, hate, if they could get us to hate each other. And I was listening to David Icke the other day. He was talking about how they do this and how they create this energy that they can then feed off of. And then that helps them to in their shape shifting and everything else. But they need that kind of energy because of the where they come from. We are more spiritual beings than they are. And so correct. Because of that, they can't tolerate, they can't exist until they change us into giving them this energy that they need. And if they don't have that energy and if all these other things aren't exactly right, they lose their ability to it's really about and the way he was explaining it, was that they, the thing that's cloaking them, they can't, it can't be generated. So what you're seeing is what's really there, I guess, you know, they're not really shape-shifting. You're just seeing what's there that they're trying to hide.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Of course it makes sense. Yeah. That's the cloaking mechanism can't hold. And then you see what they actually are, their true form.
And one of the reasons it's happening a lot now on video and stuff like that is because the actual Earth is starting to vibrate at a higher rate. So they would have a hard time no matter what. But of course, now all their adrenochrome and all of their stuff that they need is been taken away. And so they're losing their ability to move about and keep their shape, you know, the way they used to. And I kind of think that these masks, you know, that's us trying to, or them trying to get us wearing these masks and stuff have something to do with that.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, that's an interesting theory. I like that. This gets crazy, this part right here. I love this. So obviously the Navajo witchcraft, they're not talking about European witchcraft, but they're talking about witchcraft dealing with the dead and with death. So obviously without eyewitness accounts, this could simply and easily be brushed off as nonsense. However, in the case of the Navajo skinwalker, eyewitness accounts are not hard to come by. One example of an eyewitness account comes from James Donahue, a writer who lived with a practicing witch on a Navajo reservation, and his accounts are as followed. Then there was an appearance of a shapeshifter. One windy afternoon, as the sands of the high desert were turning the sky yellow and partly obscuring the sunlight, we were at the house alone. The dogs in the yard began barking, more dogs, and carrying on. My wife looked down and announced that there was a wolf in the yard. We both ran outside to look at the creature, only to find that it and the dogs had disappeared behind an old hogan that was once used as a family home before the government built the conventional house we occupied. When we looked, we saw the large paw prints of the wolf, but there was something strange as well. The paw prints turned into human footprints, small like the feet of a petite woman, before they disappeared at the wall of the hogan. It was clear that the wolf my wife had seen turned into a human after she was out of our sight. Then, miraculously, this person walked through a wall of a locked building. Walked through a wall, my friends. Since we did not have a key, there was no way to enter the old hogan to expose her in her hiding place. He concludes as the article ends. My wife and I are a living testimony to the uncanny ability of the Navajo to accomplish this amazing feat. They did it right before our eyes. It was the only one of many amazing wonders observed during the magical time we lived in Arizona. So I want to say this, friends. If anyone out there, let me know. If you've seen the movie Witch, it's on Amazon. It's out there. I've seen this movie. It's actually portrayed in Old English. It's almost really hard to understand while you watch it because the English is so old. It's hard for you to kind of translate it because there's no translation. This movie, the witches that live in the woods outside of this home along the wood line, they're able to transform into they transform into rabbits. They transform into goats. And this is what they do, just like what we would see here. They actually take the form of an animal because I don't know how they do that or what they do that. But let's be honest, witchcraft is real. Witches practice every day. We saw it with the whole trying to get one of the Supreme Court judges, Kavanaugh, when they didn't want Trump to be reelected. They did a whole seance and all this kind of witchcraft stuff. You know, they are practicing witches, a lot of them. Yeah. The stuff isn't just made up. It's real, Linda.
Yeah, but it is kind of hidden science. You know, it's old school.
Yes, it is.
Hidden science. There's a science to it because they have knowledge that we don't have about how the world works. And that's part of their witchcraft. Lying. Lying. Mm-hmm. That's part of their witchcraft. They call it lying. Right. It's like, you know, and also, I've heard that if like somebody's speaking in a room, okay, and there's a bunch of people in there, and the person walks out and they say, hey, how's everybody doing tonight? Now I want everybody to raise their left hand, and the whole room does it, or even some people do it. They think that's magic. They call that magic, that they were able to get people to raise their right hand. But you see, they're doing that exact same thing with all of their manipulations. They're telling it, why do people wear the mask?
Right.
I want everybody to wear this mask. Right. I mean, that's correct. Basically all that happened is people told people they had to wear the mask. That's it. And it says right on the cover of the package of the mask, if you look at the fine print, just pick up any mask and look on the package. It says right on the outside that it doesn't do anything to prevent COVID. Mm-hmm. So why are people wearing the mask? Just because they've been told to. So you see, it's the same principle, but just on a more evolved scale, you know, and they're all lying. How are they getting people to wear the mask? They're lying. Mm-hmm. So they're lying. They're telling people to do it because they've built up their own images through lies. So it's like, that's kind of their magic, you know? But then they have other things that they do. And one of the things I've heard on this Super Soldier channel is they teach these kids how to shapeshift. And first of all, a lot of these kids are hybrid. You know, they are, and they know it, they admit it, they don't, you know, they say, I've got half reptilian blood in me, or I've got a third reptilian blood in me. So they interbreed these kids, but then they put them in cages with animals. And they have them in cages with animals to try to act like the animal. And so that's how they start them beginning this ability to shapeshift, because it's a mental thing, you know, and it's something that we all are capable of doing, but we just don't know it. You know, we don't have those parts of our brain activated.
Correct.
And so they activate those parts of the brains through torture. That's how they've been activating it, because when they torture these kids and they split their personality, they leave their body. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get them to leave their body so that, you know, that's part of the, quote, witchcraft or whatever, if you want to call it that. But that's what they call witchcraft, is manipulating all this hidden science that we don't know anything about. But the shapeshifting, they teach them to do that, putting them in cages with animals. And by the time they grow into adults, they can shapeshift into all these different things, because it's they manipulate, I guess, the frequencies. And it's hard to wrap your brain around it, but there is a science behind it. And it's about our perceptions of what we're seeing. Do you know what I'm saying? Does that make any sense?
Of course it makes sense. Yeah.
And I mean, I really want to do a video on it and really get down and try to figure out exactly what they're saying. It's kind of one of those things that you get it, but you don't get it all the way, you know, because I don't have all the foundational science in order to get it all the way. If I didn't go to public schools, I wouldn't have this problem.
Ah, that's right. Yeah. Somebody was telling me about a movie called Sleepwalker. That's something that we should look into. I can't play the trailer because it's so new and I'll get hit with a copyright strike. But I want to go into this part as well, going from the witchcraft to this, to ancient rituals with other dimensions. Most anthropologists believe the most Native American tribes of this region are descendants of the Anasazi, also named Ancient Ones. Wow. There is also a long and mysterious history concerning the Anasazi and their sudden decline, much like the Mayans. Another point of controversy is the possibility that there may have been incidents of cannibalism amongst the Anasazi. However, for the purpose of this article, I would like to focus on some of the ancient spiritual practices and beliefs of the Anasazi, which will prove relevant in our analysis below of the events at the Skinwalker Ranch. Interesting. Petroglyphs, known as Mother Earth symbols, have been found near the Hopi villages of the Oribi, Shipalovi, and the Walpi. These petroglyphs explain one of the many of the Anasazi myths which have been passed down from generation to another. The myth is known as the Emergence Myth. It symbolizes spirits, or the Kachinas, emerging to this world through a small hole in the ground known as the Sipapu. The actual Sipapu is in a sacred place near the Little Colorado River close to the Grand Canyon. The following description of the Educational New Mexico tour shows one example of the mysteries surrounding the multidimensional beliefs of these ancient people. We will see a large ancestral rock art site in the Hopi backcountry if permits are available. This intriguing petroglyph looks like a planetary map with beings coming from other worlds. What? Unexplainable phenomenon back at the ranch. Keeping in mind the ancient history of this region and the deep and mysterious spiritual past that includes a belief and some believe interaction with interdimensional beings, we will now move forward to examine the claimed phenomenon at the ranch from this unique perspective. Some very strange things have happened at this precise spot where I'm sitting. It is here that a visitor was accosted by a roaring but nearly invisible creature, something akin to the Predator of the movie fame. It is here that a PhD physicist reported that his mind was invaded, literally taken over by some sort of hostile intelligence that warned him that he was not welcome. It is here that an entire team of researchers watched in awe as a bright door or portal opened in the darkness and a large humanoid creature crawled out before quickly vanishing. And it is here that several animals, cattle, and dogs were mutilated, obliterated, or simply have disappeared. From the perspective of these scientists who struggle to keep an open mind with confronting the phenomenon that is difficult to explain with our limited human senses, these events are odd, unexplainable, and at even times frightening. But the run-of-the-mill UFO events don't even begin to describe the rich array of unusual phenomenon in this area. This is true. Other cultures call them shapeshifters, werewolves, or Bigfoots. There you go. We bring it full circle here, folks. Full circle. I will also say that the Utes take this very seriously, Hicks said. They think that the Skinwalkers are powerful spirits that are here because of the curse that was put on them generations ago by the Navajos, and the center of the whole legend is this ranch. The Utes say that the ranch is the path of the Skinwalker. Tribe members are strictly forbidden from setting foot on the property. It has been this way for a very long time. Good God. And then you have this guy, you know, this white guy and his guys walking around with AR-15s. And there's no way that these Navajo ancestors, these ancestries and these, the spirits of the dead like this. They don't want this going on there. They want it to be preserved. And so they curse the land. Who knows? That's why I said from the get go of this podcast, who knows what evilness this guy has taken upon him? Probably doesn't even know about it.
I wanted to read about the chupacabra for a second because I found this. I thought it was pretty interesting. And we should do a show on that one time because this thing,
sure,
chupacabra, has been around for a long time. People swear by it. So the chupacabra, Spanish pronunciation, I can't do it, but it literally means goat sucker.
Whoa.
And it says chupar, to suck, and cabra, goats. It is a legendary creature. And see, this is from Wikipedia, so they're going to call it legendary and mythical and all of that. That's what they
right.
do. And that's why, that's what the History Channel basically does. They'll use words like legendary and mythical and no proof and all of this stuff. They will debunk it, but they'll tell you about it. But they'll just tell you their version of it. But it says that parts of the Americas is where it is found, and Puerto Rico. And the name comes from the animal's reported vampirism. The chupacabra is said to attack and drink the blood of livestock, including goats. And of course, it's very ugly. It's like a little lizard, you know, like a medium sized lizard, like, you know, like maybe this.
Yeah.
Big. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it says sightings in northern Mexico and the southern United States have been verified as canids afflicted by mange. Of course, this is Wikipedia, so, you know. But they're saying sightings in northern Mexico and southern United States have been verified as canids affected by mange, which makes me think that they're probably they found something, you know.
And oh yeah,
they want us to think it's just a canid. Well, what's that? Is that a canine or what does that mean? Canid with mange,
right?
So anyway, whatever.
Right. Yeah. It looks like it's like part dog.
But they're admitting that something was found, you know. So right there, they do the same thing with the reptilians. They call it mythical and all this stuff. They'll do anything to make you think that it doesn't really exist.
I want to show you this. This is crazy. I want your thoughts on this. So the Cipapu, remember I was speaking about that earlier, even more impressive, a parallel than the Skinwalker Eyewitness Reports. There is another powerful parallel between the phenomenon identified at the ranch and ancient Anasazi rituals. These are the perfect circular cookie-cutter holes in the ground. So this is what they do. The second kind of a Cipapu is a current passage to the third world, which can be found as small holes or even more elaborate structures in kivas. Special bodies of water or even special places in the landscape are also often considered to be Cipapus. These Cipapus are the means of the communication with the spirits. And we all know that if you know anything about spirits or anything about communications like this, they travel with water. If you find a body of water or a stream, those places are actually more of a hot spot because of the running water. Something about that attracts the spiritual realms. A Cipapu was often simply a small, perfect circle in the hole in the ground, like a cookie cutter hole. The image below is an example of one of those more elaborate ones built inside of a kiva. Less elaborate ones were simply small holes in the ground. Look at this.
Wow. It sounds like CERN.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And then you have, I guess people would stand around here and then they would fill this with water. And then probably, you know, stand around it, pray, and see if there would be a communication or, you know, if something would come to speak to them through this water. But how do they know this? This is what you were talking about earlier, Linda, that there are things that we will never know. We will right. never know. They're kept from us. But these things that are passed down, who was the most connected to Earth? Indians. They are 100% committed to this. They are 100% in contact with nature. You know, we're not. Why are we on computers? Why are we on all this kind of stuff and technology to keep us from that? Mother Earth wants to talk to us. There's entities within this planet where we're all part of the same realm. It's just different dimensions that we can't see because we're closed off from them. The Indians could see to these dimensions. I bet you, Linda, and especially doing stuff like this, and inviting spirits to talk to them through these like ancient ceremonial Cipapus. You know?
Well, you know, you were talking earlier about, or somebody, oh, it was the caller, I want to say Angelina, is that right?
Vanessa.
Vanessa, I'm sorry. It goes in one ear and out the other with me. I have the memory retention of I don't know what these days. I can barely remember what I went into the room for. But talking about I lost my train of thought too. And bringing
it's okay.
that up, you know, I'll think of it though in a minute.
it's fine. So I wanted to do this because we got about 7 minutes Vanessa. Left in the show. So. You know, 10 bizarre things that have happened at the Skinwalker Ranch. The wolf. This perhaps is one of the most best-known events to be documented on the ranch deals with the Sherman family. This family of ranchers, I believe that you read this, when in a matter of days, Terry Sherman and his son saw a wolf almost the size of their car calmly approach them. The massive beast came towards them, thinking it was someone's pet. Terry patted it on the head and it veered away. The wolf walked away calmly, then suddenly bit one of the young cows on the nose, trying to drag it away. Terry, armed with a shotgun, started to shoot the wolf. Though he was an excellent marksman and was at close range, the bullets didn't hurt the wolf. Obviously, this could have been a witch. At most, the bullet stunned it, it backed away annoyed, then walked away. He followed the wolf only to see that the wolf vanished in his tracks, disappeared. Again, probably one of those witches. You know? Unexplained lights and disembodied voices. Two most common occurrences on the ranch involve unexplained voices and lights that emanate from nowhere. UFO sightings are the norm. Point. It was the norm to see serious flying crafts throughout the Utah Basin. Those who lived on the ranch barely bat an eye when they saw a UFO after a while. What wasn't normal, though, was hearing disembodied voices coming from the air. Sometimes the voices would narrate what people were doing as they were doing them. So they're being watched in real time, Linda. Oh, my God. And they have a footage of this? Let's check this out. Oh, is this going to get me? I probably can't play that. Friends. I'm sorry. That's from another channel.
I remember what I was going to say about Vanessa, yes, talking about that animals were actually mutilated. And they found up, you know, they kind of came up with their own reason why it happened. But there were mutilated animals there. And also, she was talking about the house. And I meant to comment on that, that she was saying how the house had bad energy in it. Mm-hmm. And I read a book one time called The House. And that's what it was about. It was about these people that bought a house that was kind of built into the earth. It even said that when it was describing the house and how everything that happened, they started fighting with each other and nobody got along and people got in arguments and all of these things happened in the house. And it was supposed to be their dream house. And it ended up causing them just so much misery. And I think that someone actually ended up dying in the house. So, and it was loosely based. It's kind of like that, what do they call it? The Amityville Horror.
I was just about to say that. Yeah. You took it out of my mouth.
Because even though that they're talking about, oh, the real reason why the Amityville Horror is the house is haunted is because that kid killed his whole family, but maybe the kid killed his whole family because the house was haunted. Maybe
right, it's saturated in all this stuff. The house is alive, right? Everything is alive. People are like, that's crazy. No, it's not. Everything is alive.
Yeah,
it absorbs it. And here's a great thing that I used to say all the time. Listen, so when you walk into a home, let's say you've never been into a house, somebody invites you over and it's very loving and joyful and it's like Christmas or something like that, and you walk in, you feel the energy, you're around happiness and you're around joyful people and people that you love. You, that resonates with you. You feel that. But you go to a house where, let's say, a husband and wife or somebody or a boyfriend and girlfriend were just fighting, or a brother and sister or a brother and brother are fighting and they, you know, almost about to come to blows, a lot of energy. And then right before you get there, they stop and they're, you know, they kind of leave it and it's in that room. You walk in that room, you can tell, did something just happen here? You can feel that energy. So think of an argument and multiply that times 5,000 on a place where you're having 200 Navajo Indians being slaughtered. Yeah. And 8,000 basically doing a death march. Think of all that negativity and having that resonate. It's crazy to think of.
Well, and also, I mean, this is kind of taking what you just said and advancing it into advanced technology, actually. Mm-hmm. But in the Philadelphia experiment, when they did that, they talked about the people that did not know that this was going to happen. They moved. And their arms and stuff became fused with the ship. So I guess my point is that there's all kinds of energy being absorbed by all kinds of things in all different ways that we don't even know about in order for these things to happen. Like even this AI, fusing AI with organic beings, you know, these gray entities that came out of Roswell and everything. And even they spotted a lot of them on the Skinwalker Ranch. They're supposed to be AIs, you know, but organic, have living beings and AIs. So just the fact that they're messing around with that stuff, fusing it together, I think that on a more primitive level, yeah, that these objects have the ability to absorb emotions, feelings, vibrational things that are all around them.
I agree. I agree. It's palpable, and it's all around us, my friends. It's all around us.
You know, it's hard to articulate this stuff because we're not used to talking about objects having, you know, personalities or feelings or emotions or being affected by emotions that are around it. But then again, you've got these people and they have 100 genders and they're identifying as chairs and things, you know?
True.
So it's almost like that these elite know that these inanimate objects can actually pick up vibrations and things because they're making them into genders. I identify as a chair. Oh, really? I identify as a glass.
Right.
But I mean these people are nuts. It's kind of based on what you're saying, that these walls and floors and furniture. I had a friend that bought a pair of sunglasses at a flea market, and they were retro sunglasses. And that night he was asleep in his bedroom, and he woke up. He heard a noise in the living room, and he woke up, and he had a. They had cats. They had a board at their door, so the cats couldn't come into the bedroom. And he woke up, and he saw a woman dressed in 60s clothing. And she came through the living room, picked up the glasses that he had bought, the sunglasses. They were like cat glasses, and put them on. And then she walked right through that board and said, "Oh, I see you found my glasses."
Wow.
And then bringing she stuff home. But she was walking through. She grabbed the glasses, put on the glasses, and walked through the board. And he said, he swears he saw her. And she said, "Oh, I see you found my glasses."
Unbelievable.
So weird. But then I said, maybe the glasses are haunted.
Some people want to come back and get what's theirs, something that's very near and dear to them. That's why people who die don't leave their homes, because they don't want to take that step and get out of there. They'd rather live on the 3D realm forever.
And you wonder what emotional things happened to this person while she was wearing these glasses, possibly.
Correct.
It's just a
I agree.
Possibility, that's all.
Well, I get it. We've, unfortunately, everybody, we've reached the top of the hour. That 2 hours absolutely flew by. It was fantastic. I want to thank everybody who, who commented. People who donated, I thank you so much. Thank you, anybody, and to everyone on DLive who were sharing and donating over there. I greatly appreciate it. Friends, if you're on YouTube right now, I would suggest going over to DLive. There's much more interaction over there. It's a lot more fun, and you get cash for being over there too. If you go over there, check it out, because in the middle of the month, I will release the chest of coins and lemons and all that kind of stuff, and you guys can get some kickbacks. So it's pretty cool. Oh, thank you. Awesome. Coming at us from right at the buzzer beater from Ron. Thank you so much, Ron. Keep up the great work, Thomas. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it. And always, Linda, too. She comes up with these ideas, and I say, let's go. Let's go. Because she's in the open book of this stuff. So
well, you
again,
come up with some good ideas yourself, Thomas.
Well, I follow your lead because you are very knowledgeable in most of this stuff. And it's always fun. It's always fun. So I do want to thank everyone on YouTube, on DLive, Twitch, and on Foxhole. Foxhole represent over on there. It should be working good for you now. Methods and everybody over there on Pilled is hooking it up. So thank you guys to each and every one of you. I will check out Sleepwalkers, friends, from 1992. Check it out, Eric. I definitely will do that, brother. And again, thanks to everyone who donated, shared, subscribed. It means a lot to me. Linda, where can they find you?
McAllister TV on BitChute is my biggest channel, but I'm on YouTube. I'm on Gab TV, all of them McAllister TV. I'm on Brighteon, and I'm on, let's see, what else? I left one out. Rumble.
Oh, the whole time my mods are sharing all of your links. So
thank you so much. And I want to thank your mods, too, because I meant to do that last time, and I didn't do it. I'm sorry.
I appreciate it.
Thank you so much
for sharing.
I appreciate you guys.
Awesome. Again, my friends, if you want to help out and fund this operation, you can go to the Cash App, PayPal, or you can hit up the Patreon, patreon.com/truereporting, to help keep this channel afloat. I'd really appreciate it. A lot of work goes into this, and this show is very fun, and I hope you enjoyed it. So let's keep
going. And there's also my website, McAllisterTVOnline.com. If you want to go see where everything is, you can go there. Sorry.
There you go. That's okay. And finally, my friends, if you walked in halfway and you want to catch up and find out what happened on this episode, it will be uploaded to truereporting.tv and also to rumble.com/truereporting. Check that out. And follow me on Gab, True Reporting 1985. I would really appreciate it. And with that being said, my friends, I will talk to you all next time. Both of us, Linda, every Monday at 8 p.m., my friends. So take care. God bless each and every one of you, and have a great Monday. Bye-bye.